Okay, let's have a moment of prayer. Rebound if necessary. Now, Father, as we continue our study, we do thank you for the power of the Spirit to instruct us that we might inculcate this information for application in our daily lives. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We've taken a look at our word in verse 10, which is apolemy, to be utterly destroyed is the way we're translating it, but there are quite a number of words that could apply. In context, verse 10 refers to tribulational unbelievers. That's the context of verse 10. However, it can fall victim to prestidigitation of the man of lawlessness in any dispensation, and especially in the church age. The church age began in Acts chapter 2. The filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling ministry of the Spirit, began on that day. It began on a day in AD 33. And that set up the concept that we're studying now. It has to do with the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Peter's going to give a sermon to these people to amplify the new dispensation. And he is going to call everyone's attention to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. And as everyone moves out of Jerusalem after that celebration, they go to many different parts of the world. There are about 15 nations mentioned in that context. People that came into Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost. And as they leave Jerusalem and go back to where they came from, they will have the message that Peter gave them. And so he has squared everybody away about the new dispensation, about the arrival of the Messiah, about his work on the cross, about his resurrection and ascension into heaven, and that these people are now squared away. They have the information they need to carry this new idea to people far and wide. And so in our study, therefore, we find ourselves learning and amplifying the enabling power of the Holy Spirit in the context of his restraining ministry. We restrain all of the dark side's machinations by our knowledge of the Word of God and the application of these things to our lives. And as we do that, then we're fulfilling the ministry. We are learning the word and we are applying it in our lives. That's the important concept is application. If there's anything that's causing you not to apply, then you need to find out what it is and give some very serious thought into correcting that through the problem-solving devices. Now, by application, therefore, this refers to believers in the church age then. Believers who fall victim to prestidigitation. This same concept as we see with the unbeliever in the dispensation of the tribulation. But for the church age believer, they have exclusive responsibility of preserving the client nation in history, and they do that by applying the word under the power of the Spirit. They restrain. So that they includes us. We're the ones that have that responsibility presently in this particular geographic location. Now, when the pivot is led astray through the various forms of satanic prestidigitation, the client nation becomes vulnerable. So the pivot is obviously shrinking. The culture reflects this. The knowledge of the Word of God in depth and in detail is not as broad spread as it should be. And as a result of that, we can see the implications and their proofs of all of this as we observe the society. Now, when the pivot is led astray through the various forms of satanic prestidigitation, the client nation then becomes vulnerable. So again, the Greek word that is translated perish in the New American Standard Translation is the present passive participle of apolemy. The present tense is tendential. Now, let's look at it in its context. With all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And so perish is our word here, and it is, first of all, a tendential present tense. It's used for an action which will occur but has not yet taken place. These people have not perished yet, but they will perish. It is placed in the narrative in a present tense to emphasize the fact that it will occur. Now, there's a passive voice here. It indicates there will be people in some current or future generation after the rapture who will be totally propagandized by religion. One of the things that's very important to the beast dictator, who's motivated by Lucifer himself, is to organize a religion in Western Europe. And he is going to go in league with the Jews in order to promote ecumenical religion. He's going to be involved in that concept. Anyone who joins up with him, regardless of their religious views or position, he is going to pull them into his organization. Ecumenical religion, therefore, must make sacrifices with regard to the theology they allegedly believe. Ecumenicalism, therefore, depends on watering down the religions that join it. So wherever there is ecumenicalism, you've got heresy. And that this man is involved in religion, so all religion is heretical anyhow. They'll be totally propagandized then by religion and then ultimately destroyed by it. Religion will be destructive. This will be God's demonstration that when religion has maximum authority, it will completely destroy its followers. So many in our nation today are involved in what amounts to ecumenicalism. This is accomplished in the sense of sacrificing some concepts of theology that they find to be out of step with the times. They do not want to discuss those areas of the Bible and do not do so, and therefore they are actually distilling their faith down to an ecumenical concept. In other words, I don't want to offend anybody. The Bible is written to offend anyone that disagrees with it. Obviously, there are dispensations, and we know that. There are some things that are involved in the Old Testament quite apparently and obviously that are no longer applicable in the church age, but there are many things there that are still applicable to us. And we know so because they're repeated in the New Testament. We have to respect the Jews, and we have to respect their association with Judaism as it is represented today, sans temple. They cannot faithfully perform all of the tasks they're assigned because there isn't a temple. And there's got to be a temple for them to go back to the true application of what they claim they believe. There are three categories of Jews, as you may well know, and the Reformed are the ones that have decided just to go along to get along. They want to still be Jews, but most of the deal has to be with being a part of some religious concept that's associated with the Judaism. So their religion is actually dead. It was buried by Jesus, and they don't seem to get that. So God's demonstration that when religion has maximum authority, it will completely destroy its followers. And this confirms that the greatest threat to human freedom is Lucifer's mass marketing of religion upon those who he has patiently benighted. Benighted is a good word to describe those who are ignorant of truth. There are many benighted in our country today. To be benighted means that you're in a state of intellectual, moral, and social darkness. In other words, you fly by the seat of your pants. You have no idea about standards. You go along to get along. You choose concepts and ideas, even standards that appeal to you personally, but you do not require that of others. That's called political correctness. Political correctness is really an offspring of Gramsciism. Political correctness is a rhetorical veil to conceal while it advances a hidden agenda. And the hidden agenda is to distill Christianity down to nothingness so that you are going to be allowed to be a Christian if you don't practice its principles. So therefore, principle emerges. Concessive participle is what's seen here. Paul concedes the fact that this will be a reality in the tribulation. Now, this verb refers to the circumstance of untold millions of people in the tribulation. They're going to suffer the judicial sentence of eternal damnation. We cannot tolerate or accept distillations of the Word of God. We must hang true to the exposition of Scripture exegetically and dispensationally. This has to be communicated, and you are required before God to accept it and therefore begin to apply what you learn. In our culture today, that is very difficult to do because you are labeled with some concept that they draw out of thin air and stick it to you. Now, in this presidential campaign, there are those who evaluate those that vote. And it turns out that the evangelicals are being attached to certain runners for president. And if they are, let's say, favored by what are called the evangelicals, and they're considered to be extreme right-wing radical conservatives. That speaks well of us, by the way. The people who allege to be a part of this very conservative area of Christianity are really broadcasting the idea that there's a group of people still in this country that subscribe to the principles of the Word of God. The principles found in Scripture are not liberal or conservative. They are right. And if you know what is right, then you are required as a Christian to subscribe to them, to be a part of the exposition of those ideas, and not care what anyone calls you. But the left wants to get away from Christianity. They're okay with people being Christian if they'll just shut up. If they won't in any way expose the fact that they believe in certain concepts and ideas that are in contradistinction to progressive ideology. And so those who stand up and verbalize biblical principles, which are absolutes, then they're criticized as being evangelicals. Now, evangelical is a nebulous term anyhow. In other words, serious Christians ought to be the idea. Those who believe the Bible is true, they go to the effort of learning what these principles are and living by them. And if you live by these principles, you're going to be in opposition to the culture of the United States of America at this present moment. You are in opposition to this culture. And a lot of people who are in churches that teach the truth are somehow often diminished by the fact that there are those who disagree with their stand. And therefore, they are compromised through the propaganda of the progressives. That's why people peel away from really serious studies of the Word of God. The culture is changing. The culture doesn't like what's called evangelicals. Serious students of the Word of God is a better phrase. And therefore, if you live by these standards, you will be criticized, and you have to learn how to take this. And you have to do it with a stiff upper lip, and you don't argue. You simply speak the truth. And if that offends people, then they stand offended. So this verb refers to the circumstance of untold millions of people in the tribulation that will suffer the judicial sentence of eternal damnation. Now, this circumstance arises by the working of the beast dictator whose propaganda led the benighted astray. Deprived of truth, they were led to their ruin due to negative volition. And this resulted in their destruction by the cycles of discipline, which condemns them to ultimately perish in the lake of fire. So you perish as an individual through the absence of thought. You're benighted. Ultimately, through being benighted, you're going to perish in the lake of fire. And therefore, someone needs to stand up that has the truth and tell it and not care whether it's accepted or rejected. Not that you don't care, but you can't be put off by the fact people reject the truth. They have free will, and they have a responsibility before God to use that free will as they choose. And if they say no, then God will allow them to perish from their own free will. Let them alone if they want to perish. All you can do is give them the truth and do so in a way that is no way offensive to them except the content of the message. You can't do anything about that. So far in verse 10, we have this expanded translation. and by means of all delusions of unrighteousness for those who, led astray, deprived, ruined, destroyed, are caused to perish eternally. That's their ultimate destiny. Now, Lucifer's system of deception is operational in the church age. That's where we are, and that's what we learn from this. If all of the all holds are off in the tribulation, if everything is going to be unwound, and the lie is going to be disseminated universally, then that is taking what we presently observe and discern and taking the chains off. We put on chains in the sense we restrain. How do you restrain? With what you know and apply. The Holy Spirit energizes this, directs that, and therefore ensures it. Whether people respond to it or not is not your care, your condition. That is not your responsibility as to what other people do with it, unless you're talking to your children and they have free will. The idea is to stand fast with the truth. God will take care of the details. There will be some restraint somewhere someday. But if those who are truly sold on the Word of God as an absolute, the Holy Spirit will honor that. God will honor it. The Lord will honor it. Our job is to execute. It's not our job to ensure application by others. So it's a war. And we're at war with the dark side. So Lucifer's system of deception is operational in the church age. His success in converting individuals depends on how many he can persuade with his propaganda. And he gets to do this, by the way. It's his world. This is the devil's world, and he gets to recruit his minions, educate them in the Cosmic Academy, and then turn them loose on the world. Know the enemy. So the more people in any given generation of the church age to whom Satan can present his disinformation, the higher the percentage of those who will believe the lie. So every day people join the Cosmic Academy. What do? They disengage with the Divine Academy, if they were in it. They choose not to enroll in the Divine Academy because of the propaganda. I'll tell you something about the current presidential campaign that should be more alarming to you than anything else that's going on. Here's what's the most alarming thing. Barney Sanders has a wide following. Wide following. People are voting for him in different states, outvoting that lady, that woman, Hillary Clinton, outvoting her. Now, he's not going to wind up being the nominee, but what you should observe is a lot of people are voting for Barney. Give it another cycle of 4 years, maybe another cycle of four. We'll have another decade. And a decade worth of seniors being belched out of the progressive schools. They're coming. And they're coming with a vengeance. And so it's a historical downtrend. I look back at Con Man back there. Hey, buddy, just a couple of more months. Free at last, free at last. Connor's a Lone Ranger. Not the Lone Ranger, but among the Lone Rangers that are going to enter society, be 18 by November. Is that not true? Is that true? There's a vote back there. There's a vote by a millennial sitting on the back row. And, of course, Mom and Dad has made sure he knows how to vote. He's got free will, of course. But is he a millennial? Does he like Barney? Is he a Barney guy? Oh, no, that's his business, and therefore he gets to go in the booth by himself. But there are a lot of other people who are going to be 18 by November, and they're going to vote, and they're millennials, and they've been propagandized, and they like Barney. See, just think. The guys that are in high school now, the guys and ladies, they're coming out in May. And they turn 18 between now and November, if they haven't already. The most alarming thing that's going on in our society today is how many people are voting for communism. One of the key assets available to the devil today is worldwide access to media. Used to, if you wanted to communicate with somebody, you wrote a letter and gave it to the postman, and he would deliver it a few days down the road. Then he got a telephone, and you could call somebody if you had a telephone. I remember when my parents got a telephone. Now, we were somebody at that point, but we didn't have a straight line or a private line. It was, I don't remember the number, but you had to have a letter at the end of it. And Joe Henry's number, I'll never forget, it was 1209M. And if you had a letter behind your phone number's number, it meant it was a party line. And so someone else used the same line with you. The lady that lived across the hall from us was named Flavia Hines. She was the chief operator at the phone company. That was where, when you picked up the receiver, a lady would say to you, "Number, please." And I would say, 1209M. She would say, "Thank you," and you would hear a little click somewhere where she plugged something in to the 1209M line. And I'd get Joe Henry to answer the phone. Then my mother and dad got a private line, 1510, which means it was a private line. Nobody else was on that. And you'd call anybody anywhere, but you had to pay for that in long distance. And it could be a lot of money. Then other things happened. But most of what the other things were that happened occurred, oh, I would say in the 1990s. That's when Paul Davis showed up and said, "Hey, how about we have a website?" And I'd say, "Why? And by the way, what is that?" So we've come from that. And then he and Dennis back there, and Mike Weber and Mike Vest, others who know the binary stuff, we're all over the world now. Okay, it was tough to propagandize people when the dark side couldn't communicate with you. Now the dark side can communicate with your children over their phone. And they're not always with you, but they have the phone. Now, I can't text. I try to text, but for some reason I can't get my fingers to hit the letters I'm after. And so I wind up screaming at the phone more than punching at the phone. But a lot of people text, and then they tweet. I don't know how that works, but there's a tweeting that goes on. I do email, which you understand is Neanderthal now, but what are you going to do? Listen to this. There are multiple formats today. Everybody knows how to do these. There are the usual things that you have involved in this. Just generally speaking, entertainment industry comes at you from many different sources. What does the entertainment industry produce? Wonderful entertainment. Uplifting entertainment. Pervert entertainment. If you think that your kids are using their phones and their whatevers, whatever device they have, to watch Disney, which that in itself is dangerous, but we can go with that. Then there's radio. There's certain channels on there that you can get talk, get political discussions. There's music. You can actually get good music. Or there's, is available. Television. You can have almost 200 channels on your TV. You can get really good dramas now, movies and so on. But also there are perverts out there. So there's cable that gets you 200 channels. By the way, I think broadcast television has got about 10 more years. I mean, Roku and Netflix and Amazon Prime, etc., Look, to stay on the air, you've got to have sponsors. You got to people who buy time. And if you Devo anything, I guess you still can use that word, but if you record anything, you are going to fast forward through the commercials, aren't you? Yes, you are. Those people paid fat money to get that commercial and that piece of airtime. And they do ratings on this to see how many people came and put their eyeballs on it. And when they're able to get calculations on people who don't watch the commercials but fast forward to them, that's going to draw down the cost of that airtime. And therefore, you get it cheaper, but the broadcast frequencies won't be able to hold up for very long. Because you say, I'll just get it on Netflix and pay like $8 a month. See this? Broadcast television, maybe even radio, although I think radio is a little different. Broadcast television, I think, is in the downswing. Everything's going to be computerized. So that's television, cable, music of various kinds, publishing, that means books and whatever, film. I think the movie houses, they've got a big problem. I mean, you got a widescreen TV, 1080p. Why would you go pay $10 to see something when you don't pay anything to stay home to watch it like a month later? So walk-in movies, I think they're in danger. And, of course, there's the Internet, which includes a great deal of stuff, including stage. You go downtown to the Fox Theater and that kind of thing. And what I'm telling you, there's a multiplicity of places by which you can take information into your soul. And you can be discriminatory about what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, and so on. But children are growing up with these devices, and they know how to use them. They know every jot and tittle of it. Connor goes back there with Dennis on occasion and does things back there. They know. And your children, they know how to operate these things. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff out there that gets into their souls that decades ago they could not access. So it needs to be a strict rule about the devices. Otherwise, the tendency of the sin nature, and they are children, is to go places they shouldn't be allowed to go. And that damages the culture. So I'm not railing. I'm telling you the truth. Just telling you how things are now in the electronic contrivance 21st century. Centralization of authority over a maximum number of jurisdictions is well established in the United States. Washington now rules 50 states in ways that far exceed the constraints of the 10th Amendment. Oh, in case you're not familiar with the 10th Amendment, I have it here. Here's how it reads. Listen to this. This is powerful. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, the Constitution, to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. Progressive ideology rejects the Tenth Amendment. It's rarely consulted in deciding issues before the Supreme Court or any other court. Now, recent events in Ferguson demonstrated how lies are transformed into truths, making it possible for justice to be converted into tyranny. Justice has been turned into tyranny in Ferguson and elsewhere. Two rhetorical veils were deployed by the dark side. Rhetorical veil number one, black lives matter. Rhetorical veil number two, hands up, don't shoot. The former was an obvious truth, while the latter is a certifiable lie. Yet they're rhetorical veils that have become common course in the exercise of freedom in this country. Freedom to assemble and therefore destroy things. Now these slogans serve to conceal, while they advanced a hidden agenda, the diminishment of local police authorities' power to enforce the law, as was demonstrated very obviously in Ferguson, New York, and Baltimore. Complete chaos. Violation of laws repeatedly in harum scarum, because it was unleashed, because there was going to be change in Ferguson. Ferguson would go down as the event that is going to set the stage for a lot of things in the 21st century. The concept of change is an evil idea unless the change is associated with truth. And when it's based on a lie, it can do nothing but destroy freedom. So the change that has evolved finds Ferguson, an independent city in the state of Missouri, falling under the thumb of an out-of-control U.S. Justice Department. This is a downtrend in America. The circumstances that allowed this breach of local authority to occur were matured over the decades by the federal schools, by universities, and especially by graduate schools. The academy is corrupt. It is a cesspool of tenured academicians whose souls are steeped in attitudes concocted in the Frankfurt School's progressive curriculum. That's been going about 90 years now. With precious few exceptions, university is a training school for future socialists and has produced enough graduates to begin swaying elections in a nation founded as a republic. Russell Kirk delved into his own musings regarding the negative impact of higher education in America in the year 1978. What he's got to say about higher education in his book, and it's got a long title, I'll give it to you. His title is Decadence and Renewal in the Higher Learning, an Episodic History of American University and College Since 1953. So we're looking at about 60 years plus since he wrote this book. And the excerpt I have for you is going to read to you and sound to you as if it were written this year. And that is where we will resume our study on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of observing the zeitgeist. The zeitgeist is exposed in any generation by the commentary of your word, and it doesn't matter the dispensation. Each dispensation falls under the aegis of Lucifer, who is the god of this world. We have the only antidote. The antidote is truth. Truth is found in your word. It can be transferred to our souls by the Holy Spirit. We can use the truth to run our own lives personally through the guidance and ministries of the Holy Spirit. In addition, we have the obligation to be a restraint on the fallen environment in which we function. We are good soldiers for Christ. May we take up the armor. May we put it on. And may we do righteous battle with the dark side. To these ends, we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. Now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?